Welcome to our 2015 first episode of the Revengerous Podcast of Stuff. It is a new year, and you are here with Breshvik Penicillin, Dr. Tasty.
I left and came back a million times.
Dr. Kirsch.
Guten Tag.
Commodore Bob.
You know, I've been sitting here since last week waiting for you guys.
And for the first time, for the last time, El Cocho.
First and the last?
He's the Alpha and the Omega.
He's Alpha nothing.
Well, it's going to be a crazy year, you guys. It's been nuts around here lately and around the world. It's been pure chaos. In fact, I think I know part of the reason that there's been so much chaos in the world, and it comes from Austin, Texas. So a resident in Austin, Texas, who's selling their sword, it's actually only $150. The sword is from the 1700s, she writes. She got it in an antique store in my meemaw's home back in 1984. The person who sold it to me told me to be careful because there's a 90%+ chance that it's cursed. Since it's been in my house, my life has ascended into pure chaos. My knitting group came over, and they all said they could feel a strange energy in my sword room. She has a collection of over 100 swords. That's her only haunted sword. Since I got this sword, about 3 times a week a crucifix will fall off my wall for no reason. I'm 76 years old. I cannot have this cursed item in my house anymore. Please take it off my hands.
Cursed sword, cursed schmord. Those are like a dime a dozen.
Well, they're $150.
Which is really not a bad price for a sword, honestly.
Yeah, you get ghosts thrown in.
Well, what kind of sword is it? Is it like a Gatling sword or a Chaos sword or a
Well, she says there's chaos in her home. Her home is descended into chaos. So I think it's a Chaos sword. It's also huge. Like, I know she's a little lady, but if you look at the picture, like, it's twice as tall as she is.
And it does look, it looks like the Conan the Barbarian sword.
Yeah, it does.
That's all right.
I think that it is the Conan the Barbarian sword.
It doesn't sound that haunted. I mean, it makes a cross fall off a wall. Ooh.
Yeah. But, I mean, we could extract the ghosts into it, or even pack in more ghosts for that extra ghost flavor. Who has experience using a haunted sword?
I have fought with a cursed sword once in one of my travels. Very dangerous, but this is nothing. I mean, the one sword I used was called a Muramasa, and it could drain your own blood. It fed off of blood, but this sword, it's just got somebody tagging along with it. Besides knocking down crucifix, I don't see it being that bad.
I mean, all of the crucifixes in our base get knocked down anyways.
I think that's just Santa being a dick.
I don't know. I've seen Commodore Bob just walking down the hallway, and then the crucifixes just fall down without him trying.
I'm not doing that.
I don't know.
No.
It just happens. It always happens around me. I used to think it was cursed, did it?
And also, why do we have so many crucifixes around our base?
We gotta put them somewhere.
I'm looking at their curse.
You gotta put them somewhere.
Do you have to go get the crucifixes from other places and then put them in the base?
No, I just had them, and I figured we might as well keep them in easy access in case there's, like, a vampire attack.
Good thinking. Vampires. They're icky.
I used to think they were little stabby knives with little guys attached to them.
Well, that's how I've been using them.
Some of them are.
So, El Cocho, since you're kind of the expert on this, and Harbjar isn't here, he's an expert on weapons. What? This is not a good deal for only $150. You still don't think?
No, this is a good deal. If you actually spent the money in actually getting a really nice sword, you're looking at a couple grand.
So you're saying ghosts or curses notwithstanding, it's just a good deal for that because it's $150 for any sword.
Yes, that is a good buy.
All right.
Yeah, I've got swords for like $25. You could go to like Gettysburg and get a saber for like $20, and then like you hit something with it and the handle breaks off.
I can beat you. I got a box of swords, like a whole box of swords for like $2. They're different colors and they're really tiny, but you know, I got a bunch of them.
Yeah, you have a bunch of swords and they're easily concealable. Very sneaky.
Hey, cursed sword's not that bad anyway. I mean, you can always purify it if you really want. Like, there's this sword called the Masamune. It was, like, in a cave somewhere, and but then this knight got it, and he started using it, but it caused stuff with his family to go bad, and then one of his family killed him. But then, like, someone else got it, and then this hero was traveling around, and one of his friends was like, hey, this is that sword. And he's like, okay, we're going to purify the sword. And they purify it, and then they go to an alternate dimension, and then the alternate dimension is just, like, slightly different than the other dimension. And they go to the same place, but they fight the ghost of the knight, who is evil this time. And then he gets the sword, and then he fights his family, and then, like, something happened, and it purified both swords. So he had, like, two of the same formerly cursed sword. And this is not from hit classic Chrono Cross.
I was wondering what that wasn't from.
Well, it's not from that.
I think you're right about what this sword looks like. She looks like
Nana the Barbarian.
Good one, Bob.
Hey, good yeah, one, that's Bob. A good one.
Hell, man.
What?
Oddly specific coincidence, but I'm all derailed.
Yeah, I think we can move on.
Fine.
You get derailed by sandwiches.
Also out of Austin. I'm telling you, this is like some kind of epicenter of chaos. The University of Texas has lost their brains. They don't know where their brains are. Their brains are missing. In fact, half of their total collection is simply gone. They received a bulk of its collection stored in formaldehyde in 1986 from the Texas State Lunatic Asylum. And, they were abnormal brains. And they believe that they were removed as some sort of prank, but we don't know what happened to them. So,
Sounds like zombie ninjas.
Well, depending on the medical status of the brain, you know, you can do some various dark magic things.
Well, like they just ate the brain. The brains have been just eaten by some kind of creatures.
Well, no, used in magic potions and rituals.
Did you take these brains?
I don't think so.
Kirsch?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't me.
You don't think so? You don't know if you took the brains.
I haven't been to Austin in a while.
What about you, Bob?
Puree pate?
Oh, thank you.
I was going to say something. I forget what it was.
It's your brain. Half your brain's gone. Oh my god.
Ah!
It is brain parasites.
Well, I don't have a brain. I just have...
Obviously.
Sentient energy. It, you know, if you're going to have a bunch of brains just there, you got to know what you're doing or you're going to lose them. Just like these guys.
Well, you gotta use them or lose them. Sounds like they were just storing their brains in formaldehyde. They weren't using... I mean, you know, a brain
is a terrible thing to waste.
Man!
That's nice.
Hey, you're good, man.
What the hell, man? I don't...
He's starting to get old.
Maybe it was a mutant that stole the brains.
Why would a mutant...
I still stand by my original theory. Zombie ninjas.
I think it was a guy of immense psychic power from the future coming back and stealing them for some secret genetic enhancement project.
That's the most obvious solution, though. So, you know, Occam's razor. Maybe all the brains were combined into one super brain, and then they didn't even bother to check because they were like, that's too stupid. Like, there's a big brain in the middle of the room where all the other brains were, and they're like, there's two mysteries here that are completely unrelated. What happened to all the brains, and how did that big super brain get there?
Is that in the article?
No. But it could be a separate article I didn't see.
Well, if it's not in the article, it's not there. Like, journalism is 100% factual and has all of the facts when they report things.
This is about ethics in journalism, okay?
Actually, it is about ethics in journalism.
The earliest reports are the most factually accurate, like reporters on the scene just reporting what they think happened, because that's where the real news comes from.
Yeah, the man on the beat. And I like to know, I like to make sure my opinion is already set in stone before I hear from any kind of lab analysis or experts.
Oh, definitely.
I don't have
time. I think as soon as you're on the scene and, like, a police officer or other authority figure says, like, one word, then you know the scoop. And you can go back and just say what you think the guy was going to say.
I think one word is good. I mean, we need just quick sound bites that we can repeat to people. That's anything more involved than that.
I mean, can't you do that?
Irresponsible, actually.
Can't you already do that? Like, predict what people are going to say?
Who, me?
Well, anyone.
Well, actually.
This story is not from Austin. It's the only story we have not from Austin, which is the weirdest part of Texas in an already weird state. This is from a weird country called Germany. A lot of weird people in it. And a suburban Munich woman was found to have been sleeping in the same bed every night with her mother's mummified remains. Her mother had died 5.5 years ago, and they weren't really hiding the corpse, she and the rest of her family that lived there, but they weren't really telling anyone either. Eventually, building management contacted social services, and the body was discovered. She died of natural causes, but yeah, they had covered her completely in a blanket, so flies and maggots couldn't get into her body. That basically just dried her out and prevented putrefaction. It's a very, like, low-level mummification. It wasn't the kind of mummy that's going to get up and walk around, mind you. But
I was going to say,
yeah,
because you got to be careful with mummies.
Serious mummy issues.
So but if a body dries out and there's no fluids, then bacteria can't get to it, so it's just dry.
Mommy's mummy is a little bit too much.
Mommy's mummy.
So they didn't even try to resurrect her?
Apparently, I don't know, there was another story I'd heard recently where some people thought that they had left their, I guess, patriarch of their family, just let him, the same thing kind of happened because they were convinced, the mother and the children were convinced that if they just waited, he would be resurrected. So I don't know if that was the case in this story, but that's sort of like the laziest magic in the world, just assuming that someone's going to be resurrected eventually.
Well, if you pray hard enough.
Well, don't you have to go through like a long process of a ritual with like some brains or arcane artifacts
in order
to bring back the dead?
Don't you have to pray using like a language that should not be spoken?
Don't you have to like utter like some like really odd language of like Pig Latin or something to bring back the dead?
It's Pig Latin, yeah. Yeah, it is Pig Latin.
No, once you're dead, you're dead. There's no coming back from that.
In last July, another woman in Brooklyn had kept her long-dead mother's skeletal remains for a year and was putting her at the dinner table every night and cuddling next to her as she slept. So this is not, these are not isolated incidents. This happens on the regular.
That's got to be the most awkward dinner party I've ever been to or would ever go to.
You've never been to the Bateses for Thanksgiving?
Not yet.
We don't know that these people were murdering transients.
Oh, I have to go get something from the kitchen. You just talk amongst yourselves with my mom. Oh, okay. Oh.
What adult sleeps with their parents anyway? Let alone a dead one.
No, man.
Coming, mother.
Well, it seems like in all these cases, they didn't want police to get involved because they were keeping it under wraps. What the fuck?
Good one, Bob.
What the hell? Bob, how are... Seriously, man, what the fuck? How are you even doing that? That it can't just be a coincidence. These are like, this is really specific.
Yeah, it's like a historical concept, you know, that kind of thing.
The what? What kind of? What?
Psychohistorical concept. You know, predicting behavior in large groups.
But why are you just doing it to me though?
Okay, think of it like this. Say you have audio of a whole bunch of people, you know, but you're trying to isolate one bit of audio.
Uh-huh.
Well, you're that one bit.
But,
you know, trying to predict what you're going to say next, how you're going to act, what you're going to do, if you're going to fart, you know, things like that.
Well, what if I did something really unpredictable, like said... Sandwich! God damn it! How did you know I was going to say sandwich?
Actually, it wouldn't have been that hard to predict that.
Oh, I guess you're right. I do say sandwich a lot. What, is this some kind of weird voodoo that you do?
Oh no, it's science. It's definitely science.
But how can you predict its particular reactions? The first rule of psychohistory is that it's only useful for large masses of people because individuals are just way too unpredictable.
Well, that's only because they weren't being observant enough of their subjects, you know? I've been scrutinizing every piece of data I can get on Breschvik over the past few months, invading every ounce of his privacy.
Gross.
Ew.
But...
Oh, now that makes sense.
But now he's hyper-aware that you're watching him. Like, the second and only other rule of psychohistory is that the subjects don't know that they're being observed, because then that alters their behavior. everybody acts crazy on reality shows, and that's just one example.
Sure. But that's only true because those subjects have the attention span to remember that they're being observed.
Like, I get why they had two Aunt Vivs, because the person changed, but why did Nikki go from being a newborn to a preschooler overnight?
But psychohistory is a mathematical and sociological analysis of behavior of large groups of people. You can't just listen to one person and think you know them. Technically, scientific endeavor could much more easily and quickly be achieved with memorizing your spell books.
Like, what you say?
Yeah, with the proper magical training.
What?
You can predict everything.
Yeah. You can't predict me. I'm unpredictable. You can't predict energy.
You see?
Yeah. Hey. But that was an easy one.
All right. Now, if he could predict anything with this formula, then he could probably predict where I'm going to punch him.
I can even predict El Cocho.
Oh, bullshit.
No, seriously. Just say whatever comes to mind.
All right, here we go. Let's give it a try. Go for it.
Kick. Punch. It's all in the mind.
Holy crap, he's right.
Can't predict. Dr. Tasty. Punch.
Missed me.
Hey, that missed.
Yeah, that's weird.
All right.
Actually, come to think of it, I've never seen anybody punch him. He always ducks.
Dr. Tasty kick.
Man, that's badass. That's way cooler than Commodore Bob's thing.
Tasty flurry.
Oh, thanks. I wanted one of these.
I knew that was
it. Even has M&Ms just like I like.
Actually, now that I think about it, I kind of would like to learn how to do that. I could find that. You could find that useful in your combining magical arts with martial arts, right, El Cocho?
It would help. It would give you an advantage. I don't know. Well, it just takes the nobility out of it a little bit, or the thrill.
Yeah, but you would win and not get punched in the face.
Not getting punched in the face is good, too.
And it seems better than Commodore Bob's model, because that's a lot of math and science from what I'm hearing. Yeah, teach us some spells.
It's not that easy.
Now, this is all stupid.
It's not just, like, a couple words you could say, because if you just say the name of the spell to make the prediction, as a novice would have to, then it takes up all the time that making a prediction would be useful, so you just end up saying it just in time to get beat the fuck up.
Wait, so, I understand. So if I, instead of, like, when we've been saying words, and you guys have said those words at the same time that we've said them, you'd be saying the spell out loud.
Like an incantation?
Exactly.
I thought that you said it was easier and faster than psychohistorical science or whatever.
Well, after the proper practice and meditating under a waterfall and the proper rituals, you know, you could build up your magical skills so that you wouldn't have to. Your subconscious would kick in and do it for you and just make the spell work.
Ugh, that sounds like it could take forever.
You're calling it magic. Magic's just fucking dumb.
Well, no, there's a specific neurotechnological response that occurs before your reflexes could kick in, and all that's happening is that the spell's coming out at that moment.
So my options are, I could spend a lifetime learning some obscure science, or a lifetime learning some ridiculous incantations.
Basically.
What are the chances of getting your incantations mixed up?
Your subconscious doesn't have those limitations.
What if you're a piece of crap?
But here we are on science again with subconscious.
Which of the two is going to be the most efficient? And by that, I mean the least amount of work.
Well, the spell is terribly inefficient until you master it completely, which can take centuries longer than understanding the scientific principles that Commodore Bob is talking about.
Mine only requires a compass.
You know, both your methods are fucking stupid, because they both require a colossal amount of effort to even be proficient in, and even then, when you're proficient, you're not that great at it. Which brings me to...
Dr. Tasty's jerk who needs to be punched in the...
Magic!
Yes. Magic.
That was what you were going to say?
Yes, to my
Bravo.
Disappointment.
Bravo. You guys, that's, are you predicting Dr. Tasty? That's pretty impressive. You guys are like, you guys should have like a stage show.
No. You know what? Like in our whole universe, we have every awesome tends to have a different thing that makes them awesome, like having energy attacks or being able to punch people in the back really well. One of those things that isn't awesome is magic. And I'll tell you why. Because people have a misunderstanding of magic. They think it's this like cool thing to do combat tricks or throw fireballs or summon demons, fuck them in the ass or whatever, but magic is next to useless. So like here's the overarching point, really, is that people have set up magic guilds and they spent ridiculous amounts of time trying to do magic and have produced squat. And a lot of people will do stuff like Durkersh and call it magic, but it's not magic. Durkersh is actually just like tapping into occult energies from various dimensions and calling it a day.
I believe the technical term is beyond.
Whatever.
He's getting them from beyond.
Yes, I do have deep contact.
Beyond my ass. So here's some stuff that you think you can do with magic, but you can't. Number one, combat. Everyone thinks that you can use magic in combat, which is complete bullshit because it takes too much time and effort to cast a spell. And your spell is gonna not be great anyway.
But haven't we seen him, like, conjure fireballs in the middle of a battle?
Yeah, that might be true for you guys.
Yeah, you're using fire energy powers. You're making a ball of fire with your powers. You're not using magic.
That may be too difficult for you guys to conjure, but like, for an expert like me...
But, like, why would you even use a fireball anyway? Don't you, like... Can't you, like, think of anything more creative than that? Ooh, a fireball. Great.
I've also seen him do lightning bolts.
Oh, but another original attack. And, you know, like, half of your enemies are probably immune to lightning anyway.
What about ice spikes?
I can go to Antarctica, get an icicle, and then come back.
You actually probably wouldn't need to go that far, but point taken.
So, another example is telepathy. I'll tell you this. It took the greatest sorcerer's mind-breaking effort to lift a feather with his mind very slowly. How is that useful?
I saw a guy bend spoons, and even he was like, looked like he was really struggling with it. Yeah.
He was doing it with his thumb.
Well, yeah, but his brain was telling his thumb to do it, so it's telepathy.
That's a waste of magical powers anyhow.
Yeah, who wants, because then somebody's got to unbend the spoons.
But, like, why would you even need telepathy? Tell me, like, you need to go get an object from across the room. Why don't you just go up and get it? Fucking lazy piece of garbage.
There's only so much magic in the world.
And you can't do stuff like transform into animals or put up, like, barriers or any other stupid garbage.
What if we hit peak magic? You know, people are using it for bullshit, and I think...
So these are things you can't do with magic. Like, you can't do it.
But we've seen these things be done. I'm not arguing with you that I think a lot of them are stupid, but I mean, I've seen them happen. We just saw them make predictions.
Yeah, but that wasn't magic. That was just using another thing.
The 601.
All right, let me just tell you why magic is dumb. Okay, so here we go. Let's look at the various uses for magic and a way to do that with something that isn't incredibly stupid. So, fireballs, our first example. You can do this with more efficiency if you just shot a missile at someone or lit them on fire with gasoline.
What about a magical barrier or a ward?
Haven't you ever heard of something called a door or a shield or like a wall? You could just walk behind a wall.
Lightning.
Use a taser.
What about time travel?
Time travel. Time travel is stupid. You can just time travel in other ways, like with science or time fuckery.
Smoking pot.
What about, if you could exceed the speed of light.
Don't even talk about that, because that theory isn't even real. It's not real time travel.
It's magic.
It's not magic. You're just going fast.
Well, what about all these psychic things? Like, they're using these psychic powers, apparently, to predict stuff.
Oh, you could use psychohistory, or you could just go to a clairvoyant powers guy,
yeah,
and ask him, or look into the history dimension and see it. Or, you know, like, you could Like, if you need to psychically contact someone, you don't need to do that. You just use a phone or the internet.
Miss Cleo.
I mean, you're paying $50 a month for your phone and internet. You might as well use those minutes. Magic. Dumb.
Well, he sure showed you, Dirkirsch.
There's no logical recourse for that closing argument.
Other than you are magic. You do magic. We have a bunch of magic artifacts. And you obviously were predicting his behavior earlier, and he's butthurt about it now.
Clearly.
I'm not butthurt. You were using some other power that is not magic. I don't even have a butt.
Okocha, what do you think about all this? Like, them being able to predict your behavior?
Kind of advise a right to privacy thing, and I like my privacy. But some people just aren't pleased with what they have, and they need more, and, you know, you're just greedy fucks, I guess.
Yeah. You guys aren't happy enough knowing what you're going to do next. You want to know what everybody's going to do next. Selfish is what it is. You're using magic and science for personal gain. And frankly, I don't like what all this says about our existential situation in the universe. Like, our predestination and fate, or... do we have free will? Do we not? Like, that stuff's going to give us headaches if we think about it. I don't want to think about that kind of stuff.
You're just jealous that you can't do it.
Well, obviously. And that it would take too much work to do it. And I don't want to. So I'm going to stop you guys from being able to read my brain.
How would you possibly do that?
Well, each of you are relying on my brain being a predictable mechanism, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, hand me that hammer.
No, Fresh why?
You guys, what are you doing?
No. Here you go.
Thanks.
I didn't use magic to do it.
Yeah, you just picked it up with your hand. And I'm going to use my hand to...
What?
Why did I do that? Why do I keep doing that? Oh. That one cracked something. Oh,
this is hard to watch.
Why am I doing this? Oh, no, seriously.
Pressure. Stop it. Stop why? It, you madman.
I forgot why I was doing that.
Oh, you have a good reason. Just keep going.
Okay.
Give me that.
Oh, man. I really wanted to do that. I don't know why. Hey, let's get sandwiches.
I'm down for sandwiches.
Sandwiches are awesome.
I want to say, what are we doing?
We're doing the New Year's episode.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's a new year. It's a new year for the Revengerous. We should, even though our calendars start in April for some reason, we should make predictions for the new year. What do you think?
That's a grand idea.
I don't think anyone's ever done this before.
No.
What do you think? What do you guys think or hope will happen this year?
I think a lot of Americans will be pissed off that nothing is getting done in the White House.
Solid. That's probably a safe
bet. I predict a lot of Americans will be pissed off that not a lot is getting done in the White House.
Nice.
I predict that a lot of people are just going to be pissed off at the White House, just to be pissed off at the White House.
I predict that Glenn Beck will piss himself at the White House.
I predict that Glenn Beck will predict his own future and then change it by ripping his organs out.
I predict that Glenn Beck will rape another baby.
Are these
another one?
Are these just going to be all Glenn Beck predictions now? I predict that the sun will go supernova and consume the Earth in its heat. Now, I might be wrong about that one. I will fully admit that at the end of the year. But if I'm right, there'll be a lot of I told you so's.
I predict that we'll do another podcast.
Nah, I don't think so. Not after this one.
I predict that Al Pacino will finally open a gateway to hell.
No, that already happened.
It was the end of days.
What does that mean, anyway? Is it, like, no more days?
There's no more days.
It was the end of happy days.
Yeah.
What about, like, even...
There's no more happy days.
Like, Labor...
No.
Like, Labor
no
Day?
No more Labor Day. Everything Labor Arbor... did was in vain.
Arbor Day?
No more days. There's no Arbor Day. There's no...
Arbor Mess?
Monday... There's no yesterday. Well, there is a yesterday, because yesterday was before the end of days. But today is the end of days, so there's no more days.
And days of future past.
No, the days... Well, that's a tough one. No, because there's future days. There's no future days, even if they're of the past.
Unless you succeed in your mission.
Oh, to prevent the end of days?
Yeah.
Well, that was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's from the future to stop Kyle Reese. No, to help Kyle Reese. It's a whole, he's stopping himself, but also that metal guy. You know, I'm having trouble concentrating now for some reason. I don't know if it's because of all the magic you guys have been doing.
When will them be now?
All right. We have no product for this week. Was there a wiki page or anything?
If you want to learn a more reasons why magic is stupid and useless and misunderstood, then you can go to the magic page on at wiki, www.revengerous.wikia.com/wiki/magic. And then punch yourself in the face.
Yeah, and you could follow us on Twitter at @TheRevengerous for all the latest news you could use. Email us at info@revengerous.com. We're even on Reddit and possibly Facebook.
We'll even bring you news that hasn't happened yet.
We'll even bring you news that isn't going to happen.
Because we've prevented it.
And if you want to follow me, go fuck yourself.
In fact, that's pretty much the overarching theme. We will save the future from itself, as we always do. I guess we'll wrap it up. Do we have anything else? Should we?
We should probably get out of this room.
Well,
I have an attack that you can't dodge, even if you predict it, like you just did.
Okay.
Dr. Tasty's room-filling glass.
Oh, no. There's a door.
There's a screen door.
You're fucked.
Missed me.